Welcome to Turkey Crossing, everyone. This is Paul Bogish, and thank you for stopping by to hang out with me while we talk about how to get our kids to solve problems, collaborate, create, innovate, dialogue, and get their imaginations cranking, all while using Classroom 2.0 tools and not forgetting that the most important thing in the world is not an online connection, but a teacher-student connection. So relax, close your eyes, unless you're driving, eating, or skydiving, and open your mind for another edition of Turkey Crossing. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Turkey Crossing. This is Paul Bogish, and today I want to try to make this quick. I'm finding myself in a rambling sort of mindset, but I want to try to make this quick and just talk about, briefly, my kids starting off the year with their blogs and wikis and signing up for it. And this year, what I decided to do is, instead of introducing them slowly or introducing them with each assignment, that I was going to take the first week of school and use every minute and basically teach them how to do the wikis, blogs, and podcasts. I don't know what I was thinking. Thinking I can do it in a week's time. But it went pretty well. There was some minor issues with losing passwords and that sort of thing, but let me take you through it. On the very first day, what we did is everyone signed up for the blogs. It's the first thing I decided to get them onto. And over the summer, I'm pretty sure I signed up for and experimented with every single blog provider out there. I had Blogmeister accounts, Edublog accounts, MB accounts, Blogger accounts. I mean, I had them all. And I went through the sign-up process for each one of them a couple times. You know, writing posts and posting them and editing them and looking at all the controls and researching what other people were saying about all of them. And I first decided on Blogmeister after all the research. Then I decided on MB, and I finally settled on Edublogs. And I guess the reason why I went with Edublogs is because it seemed to provide the most, It seems to provide the most adult experience while still offering a good degree of protection. I felt with some of the other sites that if the kids use them, especially something like MB, that they would feel like they're being treated like kids and have some of their responsibility taken away. And I think the Edublog accounts really give them an experience of, you know, feeling like they have full power, even though there are, you know, several controls that you can put on there so I know exactly what's going on. And the fact that, you know, it is a site of just the kids, the learnerblogs.org. You know, they can't click on any icon by accident and end up on some weird, wacky blog. So we went with the learner blogs, and what I did is I set up a Gmail account, and so I used my username plus whatever their username at Gmail, so everybody used that same email account. So when we were getting passwords and all that other good stuff, all I had to do was open up the one account, and they'd all be flowing in to that one account. Whenever the kids are posting and commenting and stuff, that all goes to that one account. So it's all neat and in one place. And that worked out pretty well. The usernames that we used were all gender neutral, which we had to have a little lesson on that because a cheerleading chick was no longer acceptable, or, you know, I Am Blondie couldn't be acceptable. And it's kind of interesting how it's really the girls that have to worry about this. You know, I said to the boys, it's like you could pick a username of, you know, big strong man, and no one's going to say anything to you. But if you're a girl, and you actually, you know, someone had Red Sox girl for their username, and we had to take off the word girl. So all the usernames were neutralized. And I thought over the summer about setting up all the blog accounts for them and just having them walk in the beginning of the year and saying, here's your password and username, and doing the same thing with the wiki space. But I think, and even while this process was going on the first week of school, I thought, geez, I should have done that. But I think after now that the dust has settled, I would absolutely do it the same way again. Have the kids sign up for it, which, if you've signed up for a blog, you realize that it probably takes you about, you know, if you go to EduBlogs and you get a blog for yourself as a teacher, probably take you, you know, a whole 2 minutes to get a blog going. And for us, I think it took a full class period. It was absolutely amazing. But I would definitely do it again, because I think there is that sense of ownership and responsibility that comes along with creating it yourself. You know, they created something on the internet with their keystrokes. It hasn't just been given to them. You know, I think that was key. All the sweat and the pain in the neck of trying to get 100 kids onto these things. I know it sounds like a simple thing. I'm assuming it couldn't have been something I said to the kids to confuse them. It's just part of the process. But I really was amazed at how long it took. And, you know, even in places where it says, you know, you have to sign up with a domain name, I didn't see that coming. I didn't see the fact that kids wouldn't know what the domain name means and things like that. So everybody's blog, the blog address is based on the same system, and it's their code of their initials. The class that they're a part of, followed by 08. And so, you know, again, there's no names anywhere on the blog, but all the kids know the coded system, and they know which letter is the class they're in, which letter is different parts of their name. So when you go to my blog, if you go to pbogish.edublogs, all the kids' blogs are linked from there, and so all the kids kind of know the code, and they're all broken down by class to make it a little bit easier. Although I think the kids are learning the code quicker than I am. I'm still going looking at that list of letters and saying, who the heck is this? But I'm assuming in a couple of weeks we'll all have it down. Not only will we know our real names, we'll know our coded names for the blogs, and then we'll know all of our usernames. So it's like I'm learning three sets of names this year. So the blogs went pretty smoothly in the beginning of the year. The entries that I had them do were pretty straightforward, but thoughtful at the same time. Again, I decided not to try to teach this with any social studies unit. So the first entry was actually, at the beginning of the year, I asked the kids to do a million word assignment about themselves, and then they get to ask me questions. And one of the questions I got this year was really, I've never gotten it before. It was, if you could give a wish to anyone in the world, what would it be? And so I asked that to the kids for their first blog post. If you could make one wish for anyone else, what would it be? And I tell you, the answers were absolutely amazing. I mean, it brought tears to my eyes, some of these, and I actually had two parents tell me that as they read them, they had tears in their eyes. And it's just amazing. You know, we think our teenagers are so shallow and self-centered. No, I'm sorry. They're not. There's a lot of depth there if we actually let it out. And along with that, they had to leave two comments. And I was more, see, I'm not going to the nuts and bolts, but I can't help it, because it was just awesome. Their comments so impressed me. The advice that they gave for kids on how to make wishes come true, or that were just amazing. You know, I was saying to one of the parents, one comment in particular sticks out in my head, in which a kid, you know, kind of counseled another student. And I said to the parent, you know, an adult would have never have used those words. And we would have used, you know, bigger, fancier words that just meant less. And I don't know where I'm going with that, but basically, I was more impressed almost by the comments the kids left than the actual posts. So I would say probably that we spent, oh my gosh, almost 4 days on the blogs, between signing up, between here's how you post, here's how you comment, here's how you moderate your comments, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It was like the week in which it was 9,000 degrees outside. The AC in the library where I was trying to use the computers was down for some of that. And the other problem I had, in our library we have computers that are in like the general, where the books are, and then we have computers that are in a room with like 22 computers all by themselves. And normally when I sign up for them, you know, even if there's another class working in the library, I can kind of just stand in the middle and shout out what's, you know, where to go and what to do. But there was a class presenting down there, and I had to be quiet. So it was literally walking to one side of the library, here's what you do, here's what you do. Walking to the other side of the library, having to whisper to everyone what to do. So that was that added a little bit of adventure to it. But we got through it. I lost 7 pounds the first week from sweating, doing all, going back and forth and all that stuff. But if my one piece of advice is, I thought, since I was trying to squeeze in so much stuff in the first couple days, on the very first day when they got their passwords and their usernames, I didn't have them write them down, figuring that the next day when they walked in, I would take the very beginning of class and, you know, pass out the sign-up sheet, which includes all that information. And let's just say that next day, probably 45% of the kids forgot them. So we literally spent another 40 minutes getting everyone re-signed back on, new passwords, it was just crazy. So my only piece of advice, not only, but is to make sure that on that very first day, you give them, or you take down their username and password. Don't assume that they're going to be able to remember for 24 hours. So that first week, we did the blogs. The second entry that we did on the blogs was just a very simple, you know, what do you remember about 9/11? My kids are in 8th grade, so they're in 2nd grade at the time. And they wrote these just beautifully reflective pieces on 9/11. For this one, I had them include a couple of pictures and a couple of hyperlinks. And, you know, some kids mastered it right away and some kids didn't. Another thing that made this tough is that, you know, the kids are all sorts of abilities. You got a kid in there who is writing HTML code, and you have a kid in there who is, you know, doesn't have a computer, just doesn't use a computer at school, so this is their real first experience. And so that was tough, trying to coordinate all those different skill levels. And with all the blog entries, I decided there was no length. It was just, you know, here's your topic and go. And just to see what, you know, each kid was going to come up with, it gives me a good idea of whether it's their skill level or their depth of thinking or, you know, that sort of thing. When they are deciding on what defines quality rather than having me define it. The third entry that they did, there is a slideshow on SlideShare that I think is pretty neat. It's on my Wikispace site. If you go to collaborationnation.wikispaces.com and you click on the blogging link in the menu, there's on that page, there's a slideshow that says it's on the 25 styles of blogging. And so what I decided to do is that every single week, regardless of what we're doing in class, Everyone is going to do one blog entry on a topic of their choice using one of the 25 styles of blogging. And then on there it goes through everything from list of blogging, which is creating, you know, top 10 reasons why the Red Sox are going to lose, to survey blogging, to photo blogging, video blogging, and then a whole lot more that are a lot more detailed, and you have to think a little bit more before you start writing. So every week they're going to have one of those. So as of last week, they had 3 entries, and I can't stop reading them. I really and truly can't. I was up last night way too late. The other night I was up past midnight reading and commenting on these, and it is really blowing me away, the depth at which some of these kids are going to. And even the ones that are shorter, this has nothing to do about length. It's not how long something is when you're writing it. It's not what makes it good or bad. But I'm just amazed. I don't know, there's something about it. Everything I've read is true, believe it or not. You know, that authentic learning, especially for the kids that started getting comments earlier on, as part of every week's assignment, they, like, for example, this week, they have to do 3 blog posts, and they have to also then leave 3 comments. And, you know, most kids are going beyond the 3 comments. I think, at this point in the year, it's almost already exceeded some of my expectations. And again, we haven't even really gotten into it in too much depth yet. So, there you go with the blogs. Shoot, I was just going to stick to nuts and bolts and not comment. All right. What else? So we did the blogs, and then the next thing that came up were the wiki spaces. And the wiki spaces were a little bit easier, because at this point now they had already signed up for the blogs. And what I decided to do is have them sign up for the wiki space. They became members of our class page, and then they each created their own home page, and that would be the depository for all their stuff during the course of the year. And on their home page, each kid put 10 simple little factoids about themselves. And again, nothing big and fancy, but I wanted each kid to go in and alter the wiki page and do some editing, add some pictures, mess around with the hyperlinks, you know, do it as a total stress-free sort of thing. It's not a social studies content assignment. And, you know, some kids came out incredibly fancy. Some kids were very plain, just words. But I think at this point, and this is now, what, the 3rd week of school, every single kid can go onto their blog with ease and type in the right username and password. That's number one. But every kid can go onto their blog with ease and leave a post and leave a comment and moderate their comments. Every single kid can go onto the wiki space and at least do basic editing. There are a couple classes that are now starting with something they're doing yesterday, creating new pages within their page, and that's really cool, and they're kind of excited about that, but I think we're ready to roll with it. I questioned in the back of my head about the amount of time I was spending on it, and I tell you, if in my perfect world, I think I would have spent 3 weeks of just nuts and bolts, here's how to use the wiki space, and here's how to use the blog. I think with the length of time, the number of minutes I have in each class, my grade, and the level of kids, I think at the end of 3 weeks, my kids would be totally comfortable and using both. I think spending 2 weeks on it, there's still some learning, and when I give them a class assignment to do on there, part of their brain is still working on how to do it rather than focusing on whatever the question is. But even at 2 weeks, you know, I was still concerned a bit with, you know, a parent calling Mr. Superintendent and saying, hey, you know, this bogus guy is supposed to be teaching social studies and it looks like a computer classroom. What's going on? So I was a little worried about that, but that hasn't happened and hopefully it won't. And when it comes right down to it, I did the math. Yes, I did. I spent 5% of their year teaching them how to use the tools so that hopefully for the other 95%, they'll be able to use them in a more in-depth manner and we'll get more out of the rest of the year. This week we are doing our first podcast. It was Constitution Day on Monday, and not being the sort of person that can do a one-day lesson on anything, it turned into a week lesson on the Constitution, and two of the classes are finishing up by producing a podcast on Is the Constitution a Living Document? So, I'm excited to see how those are going to turn out. Those will be posted by the weekend. And there you go. My quick podcast ends up being 20 minutes, man. I don't know. I got to start working from a script and start doing these inside or something at a desk. But I hope that helps someone out there. Again, feel free to contact me if you are starting out or if you have a lot of experience with this and you heard something I said that sounds kind of crazy. Tell me, please. I'm definitely looking for ways to make this work smoother. And already, I didn't really go over it on this, but you know, for next year, already there's so many things I'm going to do differently to hopefully allow it to go smoother. But that's for another time. So, thank you once again. If you've made it this far for listening to Turkey Crossing, this is Paul Bogish. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to listen to this. And again, if you made it this far, leave me a comment on Podomatic.com, turkeycrossing.podomatic.com, or on iTunes, or throw an email my way at pbogish@wallingford.k12.ct.us. And if you really want to comment and you can't remember any of that, if you just type Turkey Crossing into Google, I'm pretty sure on that first page that comes up, I'm on a few of those links there. So, hey, thank you very much. And, all right, I'm getting into school now, and I gotta start the day. Thanks, bye-bye.